Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this morning again. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna, country Matt Kempf, and bellied up to the bar is the next OVW heavyweight champion. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
Don't get me in the ropes. You don't want me on the turnbuckle.
I just like how every conference that we preview, you show up wearing an SEC hat.
That's right. That's
like it's like your way of pushing back against everything else. I'm going to talk about these other conferences, even though I don't want to.
Yes. And, you know, I do it to irritate everyone a little bit.
I'm going
to
start wearing a mic hat.
Yes, or an independent hat. Power five.
A group of five.
Group of five.
Yeah, GO5. A GO5.
I think
hat.
That's a homework assignment for you, Freddie, is to come up with a good shirt.
Design. I'm
going
to have to get a shirt that says I'm a group of five man myself.
The one of the best things I ever seen has just taken the internet by storm, and it was the guy from the Mac that wrote the piece about putting the SEC down and be like, should I read that? I've got it up here. Yeah, all right, I'm going to read this.
Everybody's, this is great.
Congrats on your 5-star recruits and $100 million facility, SEC fans. Meanwhile, the Mac is out here playing real football in front of 14 people and a raccoon on a Tuesday night during a blizzard. You ever seen a punter throw a touchdown to a long snapper while the scoreboard's on fire? Didn't think so. While y'all are busy arguing over which frat-funded dynasty is slightly less fraudulent, Toledo's cooking up a triple reverse flea flicker in a game that ends 43-42 after six missed extra points and a goalpost gets stolen. That's not football. That's maction. You wouldn't survive one quarter in Ypsilanti. Whoever wrote that, give him a Pulitzer right now.
Yeah, I mean, genius.
And that's been sent everywhere. I mean, I've seen so many people talking about that.
Yeah, absolute genius.
And there's so much truth in every. There probably are more raccoons than fans at Mac games.
Yes. But we all love Mac.
And I can't wait for it.
I've already seen a T-shirt being sold that had a raccoon on it. It said the Mac-coon.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So last week we did the ACC. The week before we did the Big 12. And we were talking before we started. Felt like, even though last week I felt like maybe we rushed a little bit through the bottom portion of the ACC teams. In reality, upon listening to it, I think we spent a little bit too much time on the bottom part of the ACC. So we're not going to do that with our Big Ten preview this week. We're going to give the team maybe one quick thing about them, if that, and then move on. If you are a fan of one of these bottom-of-the-barrel Big Ten teams, then go to your particular team's website. I'm sure they have all the Maryland football content that you could possibly ever want.
Maybe. They may not want to write about it either.
Well, there is always that possibility. One other quick thing. Longtime listeners of the show might notice that now when you listen to the show, the dreaded advertisements have been inserted. Good news for us, not necessarily good news for the listeners, but we hope it's not too big of an inconvenience, and you do always have the option of the, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but.
But hey, I appreciate everyone listening to us. The more listeners we have, the more downloads we have.
Yes.
The more we can spend money on technology, and maybe y'all can actually watch and laugh at us.
Yes.
Technology sometime. Being getting Freddie the internet.
That's right. I'm getting ready to get an iPhone here soon.
Uh-oh.
I've been hearing that for 5 years.
Wow. I'll believe it when I see it.
And I'll get my email on there.
Speaking of technology and the internet, we are on social media, on Twitter and on Facebook. You can find us there. If you enjoy the show, please tell a friend and let them know they can find us wherever they get their favorite podcasts. So, as we said before, we started with the Big 12. We moved on to the ACC. Now we move into what, you know, nationally is perceived as one of the big bully conferences. Take that for however you want to. But we're going to the Big Ten. Big Ten this week. And as we did with the Big 12 and the ACC, we are going to use Phil Steele's predictions as our template. I'll have the guys guess who they think Phil Steele has slotted at an individual spot.
Got your cheat sheet over there?
I've got the cheat sheet.
I'm talking about tuna.
I missed on so many of them last week.
I'm kidding. I never thought about it, but we could both have a little cheat sheet. We're like, oh.
Well, that takes away the fun.
I know. Yeah. Well, I'm in the SEC. I will cheat to do it to win.
I can't wait to see how much you disagree with Phil Steele's SEC prediction. Yeah.
I haven't even looked at that yet. So, I'll try to keep that fresh.
I might wear a Phil Steele hat next week.
There you go.
I'm a Phil Steele guy.
Does he have a mustache? Are you gonna like
I have no
stash?
Idea what he looks like.
I haven't a clue.
Sounds like a guy that would have a mustache. You hear the name Phil Steele.
I think Phil Steele, if I'm not mistaken, looks like the father of the Addams Family, kind of.
No. I didn't even know if Phil Steele was a real person. I thought it might be kind of like Pink Floyd or Leonard Skinner.
It's just a group of people.
And don't pull back the curtain on the wizard, you know, type of deal.
Could be.
So we're going to start at the bottom of the Big Ten, of course, now is 18 teams deep, which is a little aggressive.
God, I feel like this was like 3 days of homework just prepping for this one.
I know.
Guys, who do we think Phil Steele has finishing dead last in the Big Ten Conference?
This is a consensus pick, right? I mean,
well, maybe.
Purdue.
Well, the only reason that I had Maryland at the bottom is because of that I know the bottom's fallen out at Purdue, and they totally just got rid of like 40 players and got 40 back, but the Barry Odom factor.
We'll get into it when we talk about Purdue. So you're going to say it is Purdue?
I have Maryland.
Okay.
This time.
See, hand up. Like I said, this was 3 days of homework.
I know.
I forgot to even dig into Maryland. There I forgot that team even existed. So if you're looking for a deep dive on Maryland football, I've got nothing for
you
today.
They've got like freshmen. They haven't even gotten a lot of transfers. Maryland looks like they're in bigger and in worse trouble than a Purdue team with Barry Odom in his first year coming in. Well, that's just my opinion.
It's Purdue.
Okay.
Okay.
Phil Steele has Purdue finishing last, coming off a winless conference schedule last year, a 66-0, I think it was, lost to Indiana.
Yeah.
In the old Oak and Bucket game. They're going to, you know, they have a whole new team, a whole new coaching staff. The only direction they can go is up.
That's right.
But I don't see them going too far up in year one. That's all I've got to say about
that. Yeah, I mean, Odom coming in, that's probably a good thing for him. We'll know. It's tough to win at Purdue, man. You got to be a special dude to win at Purdue. I guess the biggest thing is, like, he brought a couple UNLV players with him. Edge rusher Manny Powell, corner Tony Grimes. But I just can't see him competing much at all. So
But really, and I was thinking about this the other day, it really boils down in today's, the way that college athletics, especially football, works today. If Purdue were to come in like Indiana did and said, we are going to throw a ton of money at our football program, we want our football program, it can be done. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was done at Indiana.
Well, I'm going to say this. If Purdue's going to throw money at the program, they have to throw twice as much as everybody else just because Lafayette is
You're not going to get an argument from me there.
I mean, it's not really a tourist destination. I'll just say that.
No. You will get no argument from me there.
Barry Odom, UNLV, one winning season in 22 years. Next season, the season he gets there, they have 9 wins. I'm just telling you that Barry Odom, that they will do better than they did last year. This guy's a winner, and I think it's a good coaching hire.
And doing better than last year could still mean finishing dead last.
That's right, but I don't think they will finish dead last.
So that takes us to number 17.
I'm sure he's going
with Maryland.
I'm going to say Northwestern.
Phil Steele has Maryland at 17. Missed a bowl game last year. Now, they did have some preseason, like, people thought that Maryland might be decent last year, but they never got any consistent quarterback play. Their best offensive player, their running back, is now one of the running backs at Indiana.
I've never seen a team lose so many players to the portal than Maryland. It's a train wreck.
They don't have to play Penn State, Ohio State, or Oregon, so they got that going for them. But I would think that probably, I mean, this is like a show me, don't tell me type thing with Loxley. Now he's seventh year, I think, there. Right. And
they just have no depth, no nothing. I just don't see them doing well at all. Sorry, Under Armour.
Yeah, I mean, I commend their dedication to the state flag, and that's about all I know to say about Maryland.
I like turtle soup, too.
Yeah, great mascot.
And they do have a really cool, if they would go back to those 80s uniforms that just say Terps in cursive writing, which I've seen, like their uniform reveal or whatever, they are going to wear those. I don't know if that's their standard uniform this year or not, but so they got that going for them. They can have cool uniforms.
I like when they had Ralph Regan. That was when Maryland was fun, man. Yeah, but
James Franklin was the coordinator.
It does nothing for me.
Didn't they have that maniac from UConn one year that was a crazy coach who got fired?
Randy Edsel. Randy.
Oh my god, that guy.
The thing was, Franklin was supposed to be like the coach in waiting when Friedgen left, and then they jerked him around, and he ended up going to Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt did good, and then he parlayed that into Penn State, and here we are 7 years later with Mike Loxley. But anyway,
who is what? What's his record like as a coach?
Loxley,
he's been there like 7 years.
This is his seventh year.
I have it
33
right.
and 41 yeah. as a head coach. Yeah. Seventh year. How does that? How do you get a seventh year? I don't know.
Well, it's Maryland football.
Yeah, Maryland true. Football.
Okay, 16.
I'm sticking with Northwestern.
Yeah, me too.
He does indeed have Northwestern at 16.
When your head coach is named David Braun, there's no excitement at Northwestern.
The Brawny Man.
David Braun, third year.
They got a cool,
paper towels.
They got third a cool year. Temporary stadium.
Love that stadium. Yeah. I think they should be their full-time stadium.
Yep.
I guess the big thing with them is they got Preston Stone, who was the guy that started for SMU last year and lost his job to Kevin Jennings. So,
I think they have one of the toughest schedules in the
Big Ten. He could be good, but...
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
We'll see.
You know, they got Oregon, Penn State, Michigan, Illinois. I mean, you go down the line, they've got every good team. I haven't seen their Big Ten outside schedule of the conference, but I'm sure it's nothing to write home about.
No, there's really not much to say about Northwestern.
All right, now we go to number 15. Who does Phil Steele have at 15 in the Big Ten?
Say UCLA.
Yeah, I am going with UCLA on this one, too. I don't think he's going to say UCLA, but I think it's UCLA.
He did say UCLA.
Nice. He's got Tuna.
He's got UCLA at 15.
And that's with a pretty decent proven quarterback playing there.
Nico, right?
Yeah, there should be some excitement, right, Tuna, when you got a guy like that that's played in the SEC and done well?
Yeah, I think Nico under Josh Heupel is different than what we're going to see from Nico under Deshaun Foster. So,
although I will say this,
who was the offensive coordinator there? Didn't they just pick somebody up?
Tino Sunseri,
yeah,
from Indiana.
The guy that developed. I knew they picked somebody up.
Here's the thing: he developed two back-to-back conference quarterbacks of the year at JMU. And then came to Indiana and was with Curtis Rourke for a year.
Right. And you don't love Sinceri. So, these are Bama boys.
Now, they had Eric Bieniemy.
Right.
But he's gone.
Right.
Sinceri moves in. Now, this is his first time being offensive coordinator, but I do think it's an upgrade, at least from a quarterback coaching standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. We'll see. I don't know. Again, like I was thinking about Carson Beck, there's a maturity level. And I think Josh Heupel was probably the perfect guy for Nico. And I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he does well under Tino. I guess notable, they got the Cal running back transfer, Javen Thomas, 6.3 yards a carry. So that's big. We'll see. I don't know if I expect much from UCLA.
No, I do. Even with him, I just don't.
Dude, I just think it's a tough place to win because they don't really have football money support. They don't really have the fan base that shows up to games. It's just a tough job and a tough place to win.
I know, and it's weird, man, because it's the – freaking Rose Bowl.
I know.
And when I was out there last year, you know, it was their first game. It was UCLA's first game ever in the Big Ten. You would have thought a big excitement and things like that. The Indiana crowd was almost as big.
Yeah.
And the excitement level, I would put it about a 3.
Well, the stadium's so far from campus, the students aren't going to make that drive and go. It's it's rough, man. But of local interest, Pierce Clarkson, highly rated quarterback, commit to Louisville. He's transferred out there. So he was the kid that bought all the billboards and all that stuff when he got here. His dad's a big quarterback guru, Steve Clarkson.
All right.
So.
So now we move to number 14. Who does Phil Steele have at 14th in the Big Ten?
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say Wisconsin.
Okay, I'm going to say Michigan State.
Freddie is on fire.
Okay.
Phil Steele has Michigan State at 14.
Yeah.
And I kind of like this Michigan State team. I really do. They went 5-7. You know who the coach is, Jonathan Smith from the Oregon State. And, you know, he, which is kind of crazy. I didn't know that he was kind of, I mean, I know last year their defense, well, they beat Iowa last year. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of faltered after that. And I think the only win they had was like Purdue or somebody.
They put 32 points up on Iowa.
They did. And I just think that, and I think they have a pretty good defense coming back. I know they have Aiden Childs, who's a very good quarterback. What do you think about him?
Huge Aiden Childs fan. I loved him at Oregon State. I thought that he should have played over DJ, maybe.
He has tons of talent, but this will come with growing up. But boy, he made some inexcusable, horrifying mistakes last year in big spots in games. But there's no question he has a ton of talent if they can keep him from making the big dumb mistake.
I agree completely. Yeah. His feet are dangerous as hell. And like you said, his accuracy with the ball and not making bonehead decisions, that comes with age. And unfortunately, he learned on the field, hopefully learned enough on the field last year to make it better.
Right. I think this team will do better. Last year, they were 5-7. I could see them maybe going 6-6 or something, maybe going to a bowl game, but I don't know if they're going to have a winning season.
Yeah, I see them better as some of these teams in the bottom of the Big Ten. They're at least putting your eyes on, I think.
And that's second year. That's right.
Second year. Second and third years when you really start to see some of these turnarounds.
Yep.
And who is that?
Jonathan Smith.
Jonathan Smith. Yep. Yeah. Love that. I always like that guy.
Yep.
All right. Moving on to number 13. Who does Phil Steele think will finish 13th in the Big Ten Conference?
Wisconsin.
Yeah. I have USC, but I'm right there with Tuna. We're close.
He predicts Rutgers.
Ah. Okay.
The Rutgers Scarlet Knights to finish 13th.
Fine. That's fine, but I do disagree with that, and I'll tell you why here when we break down Rutgers.
The big thing with Rutgers is they have a very difficult conference schedule.
That's kind of why,
for sure.
I do want to say this. I did come out with my top 16 hardest schedules in the country, and I studied this pretty hard, and there is not one Big Ten team on them.
Yeah.
And I know that Ohio State plays a tough game beginning of the year, but if you're defending champ, that doesn't count.
Sticking to Rutgers, Greg Schiano is – I mean, he's a very respectable coach. They've had a winning season, won 8 games, or a winning record at least, in 8 of their past 12 seasons. So to do that at Rutgers is...
Yeah, I mean, he's 94-101 overall. Now he's been there on 2 different stints. But I do want to say this about Rutgers. They went 7-6 last year. I know their schedule's tougher. They always have a decent defense, a respectable defense. I know some teams, they may be tight at halftime and then Ohio State blows them out at the end or whatever, but they are second in the Big Ten this year with returning
secondary?
No, everyone on offense and defense. They are second, like in on the continuality table. You know what I'm saying? Where you're getting production back.
Yeah.
They're 71% and 81% on defense. Second in the Big Ten. For that reason, I like Rutgers a little bit better than I have a team worse than them. But I think Rutgers is going to go to a bowl game and probably be 500 again, maybe 7-6. Same record.
Yeah, I think their strongest position group is the secondary out here. That alone, and then like you said, all the returning guys for Shiano, he's a good enough coach. You spend 2 years in a system, he'll make something work. They could, 6-6, 7-5 maybe.
And that running back from Florida State, he's rushed for like 1,000 yards. They got him this year.
Yeah, they
transfer.
Did.
Get it, Shiano.
All right, Rutgers. Moves us to number 12. Who do we think Phil Steele has finishing 12th in the Big Ten?
I'm going to keep riding Wisconsin.
Yeah, I have Wisconsin here.
That is, in fact, correct. Mm. He has Wisconsin at number 12.
Oh, Luke Fickle.
Yeah, look. To win at Wisconsin, we've only seen Wisconsin win playing one style of football, and that's bully ball. And Luke Fickle's bringing new modern offense to Wisconsin, and it's not working. Mm-mm. So I don't know if that fit's going to work. I like Luke Fickle. I just don't think Wisconsin's a place for him. I think the kind of guys he's able to recruit don't fit what Wisconsin does. For that reason, I don't see this experiment working out. We're going to see Luke Fickle at another school, and he's probably going to be really successful after this one goes. But Wisconsin, bad marriage.
Another tough, not in my top 16 tough conferences, but they go to Bama this year, third game of the season. That's never going to be easy.
That's just stupid.
and last year Bama came there and blew them out. Just wanted to get that in there. I don't know. I think their secondary is good. Their defense is going to be halfway decent. When they play at home, that's a damn good home field advantage to have. They're like Oklahoma State. They've in the Big 12. They've got all the not history, but great football fans. They've got a great place to watch the games. They're football people. That right there is going to get you a couple wins in the lowly Big 10.
Do we know anything about his new offensive coordinator?
Is that Grimes? I think it's is it Jeff Grimes is who they got.
I don't.
Yeah, he got somebody, and I'm not sure where he came from, but I thought it was Sam Houston. I think Jeff Grimes came from Sam Houston, where he was like a coordinator there, and they've had really high offenses. And Sam Houston is a respectable football school.
He came from Kansas, OC at Kansas.
Oh, was he?
Under Leopold, so no. yeah, that's what I got.
Oh, Phil Longo?
No, Phil Longo got fired. He was
okay.
There.
Okay.
So
he brought in Jeff Grimes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, get it, Grimes.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I see Wisconsin last year 5-7, 6-6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Brings us to number 11 in Phil Steele.
Tuna and I are just going to get all these right.
Big Ten predictions.
I can feel it.
I'm going to say the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Okay, I know that I'm going with someone that I know that Tuna likes, but I'm going with Washington here.
Jesus, Fred. on fire.
Fred brought his cheat sheet today.
Nope, nope, don't have it.
He does. Phil Steele does have Washington at.
You know how much
11.
I'm a row the boat guy. I can't have Minnesota. Minnesota's proved a lot more than Washington has. Even though Washington, I get it, was in the championship game a couple years ago, but this is a whole new coach and new.
I mean. Just, I'm high on them. Maybe there's a little bias because we played them in the Sun Bowl, and I see how electric that offense was.
Travis saw it too, Tuna.
Damon Williams Jr., like, he looked incredible in that. He's a little guy. That's the thing. We got to keep this guy upright. I mean, what they say he's 5'10", I guess. I doubt that. But 5'10 and big cleats. But he's a small guy. I mean, he's got an arm on him, and he's not scared to wing it around, and Jed Fish will let him wing it around. Jed Fish,
you
man.
You love Jed Fish.
Jed Fish loves little quarterbacks. Like, look what he did with Noah Fifita out of Arizona, and then look at the year Fifita had when Jed Fish wasn't there with him. Like, it was down. So, like, I like him at year two here at Washington. I think Washington could really, like, make some moves in this league. I don't think they're going to compete to win it, but they're going to – nobody wants to play them.
But in his second season, they did a great turnaround. I thought every game they were in, Travis, IU, the Indiana game, I remember watching that game. That was a hell of a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was close in the third quarter.
Yeah, and Indiana pulled away, but both of your all schools did play them. And I think Washington is a definitely respectable team. They went 6-7. This is his second year, or now third year, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or no, I
no,
guess
it's a
second year. But I think we're all big Jed Fish fans. I think he's going places.
Jonah Coleman, 1,000-yard back last year. Offensive line looks sturdy. Like, you give a quarterback an offensive line and a 1,000-yard running back, I've got high hopes for you.
Yeah. And what a beautiful place to play, dude. Still on my bucket list.
Yep, that would be a neat – that would definitely be someplace to go take your yacht there, Freddie.
He does have a Uyunglele on this team.
Hey, if you all keep downloading –
No, he does.
They're offensive lineman.
If our listeners keep downloading, you know, maybe we'll get – maybe we can get a yacht and go cruising around.
Have a blockout yacht.
Yeah, and have everybody join on, jump
take it
on.
To Washington. We can take it to Tennessee.
Yeah, or a John boat. We could probably just all sit in a John boat.
Well, we already have a John boat.
Cruise Lake Cumberland.
Maybe a canoe.
Yeah.
I got
all
a kayak.
All three get on the kayak, yeah.
All right, number 10. Who does Phil Steele have finishing number 10 in the Big Ten?
I think we both know this one, too.
Golden Gophers.
Golden Gophers.
He does, in fact, have Minnesota finishing number 10. Fourth, they've been to four bowl games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
PJ Fleck is
58-39.
Yeah, and you know he's had a couple super seasons where they won like 10 games, and then when they kind of come back down, it's not typically like a 3-8. They'll come down to a game or two over 500 or whatever.
Seasons, 9 wins, 3 straight bowl games. I am a huge PJ Fleck fan.
Yeah, I think they're. You know, like we were saying, their floor's 6-6 and their ceiling's 8-4, I think, with this. I don't know. Maybe 9-3. Could be. I don't. That's if, like, everything goes their way.
I'm thinking 8-5 again. Yeah. Just like last year.
Drake Lindsey's a big guy. You know, was he 6'5", 230?
Yeah.
Like, he's a house. They do have a little running back transfer, A.J. Turner from Marshall. 8.3 yards per carry, so there's some explosiveness there. And we know P.J. Fleck loves his running backs, so that could be a perfect marriage.
Let's do our first schedule predictor with Minnesota. I'm curious here. They kick off the season at home against Buffalo.
Buffalo won their bowl game at the end of the year. Always a good football program, but I think that's a win.
Yeah, Buffalo's going to be competing for a MAC championship this year.
Buffalo's good.
It's a good team.
They're good.
I probably will go with Minnesota here, but I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo pulls something crazy.
They're going to do some ice fishing before that one.
With with a caveat, we'll take Minnesota there. follow that up the next week at home against Northwestern State.
I didn't even know that that was a school.
There's one of those Big Teners.
Is that in Chicago schedulers. Also?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
They then play ACC powerhouse California.
That's a win.
Yeah, that's a win.
Then they are home against, after a bye week, they are home bye against
week.
Rutgers.
More ice fishing.
them and Rutgers.
Now that's going to be a hell of a game.
Do they not have bye weeks in the SEC?
They
Fred?
Do, but that's just a
early. Has a bye week
weird
in week three?
Early bye week. Like it
there's two bye there's, weeks now. Yeah, it, each
right,
team
I
has
know.
Two bye
Every
weeks.
Every team gets two.
Okay. I don't pay attention to bye
end.
Weeks. I don't understand what a bye week is in football. But no, I'm telling you right now, PJ Fleck, Minnesota, in a tough, tough defensive battle. Take the under in this, yeah. Minnesota.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the most boring games you'll ever watch. but I'm going to go Minnesota here.
All right, then they travel to Ohio State.
I think that will be a decent game, but I think Ohio State pulls away in the third quarter.
Yeah, probably.
By 20.
Probably so. Maybe. I'm not going to give away my Ohio State.
No, Ohio State. Really. Ohio State lost a lot. They've got a lot of question marks.
Yeah, I'm going to take Ohio there. State just because right. it's at Ohio State.
Just because they're right. defending champs.
Then they're home against Purdue.
Win.
Then they are home against Nebraska. That's a rivalry game.
That's a Man. Loss. I'm taking the Huskers.
Dude, and Minnesota's at home?
Minnesota at home. That's already scheduled for a night game.
I'm taking Minnesota in that one, but I do think Nebraska's trending upward big time. I think that's a good – that we're just –
then they are on the road, another rivalry game against Iowa.
Give me the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I think Hawkeyes win that one. They seem to win those kind of games.
Then home against Michigan State.
I think that'll be a close game, but I think they win.
Yeah, I guess I see them getting that win there.
But that's another
I mean, it's a coin toss, dude.
It is.
On the road against Oregon.
Oh, I don't think they can win at Oregon, even though I feel like Oregon's totally depleted out a little bit.
I'm calling an upset here.
Uh-oh.
This is upset.
Yeah. Okay. Get it, Tuna.
Yeah.
Row the boat.
Then they're on the road at Northwestern.
That's a win. Damn, these boys might be competing for the Big Ten championship.
Then they are home against Wisconsin to finish the season.
That's a win.
That's a win, in my opinion.
Isn't that the Paul Bunyan trophy?
It's one of those. Yeah. It's either Paul Bunyan, Floyd of Rosedale. I don't know what all the different
the
trophies
Woodnacks.
Are. So that's
block of butter.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You guys both have them winning 9 games.
Shit.
Wow.
So if they win 9 games, they're probably not going to finish 10th in the
Big 10.
There
were some coin tosses in there, yeah. man.
Yep.
There are. And really, that Buffalo game starting off, that's a tough little group of 5 team that you got to start off with. After that, I think they're going to.
Yeah. All right, that brings us to number 9. Number 9, Phil Steele's 9th finishing team in the Big Ten.
Oh, USC?
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm sorry, but I had USC way down. I missed them. I don't see USC doing better than Washington, Minnesota. That's just no Miller Moss.
Well, he has.
I'm just kidding.
He has Iowa.
Nah.
Iowa.
Nah.
Iowa at number 9. Iowa at number 9.
I can't figure out why he has USC so high. Okay, let's talk Iowa. Hold on, let me get to the. Okay.
All right, dude. Mark Gronowski from South Dakota State. All that kid does is win. He's down there in Iowa now. Always love Iowa defense. I think this is another year where their defense
good
is going to be
loaded. Yes, yes.
I think they're going to have some offensive production. I think Iowa is a good team that can compete to win the Big Ten.
Yes.
I really believe that.
Yes.
So,
always tough to win at home at Iowa. Always. Whoever it is. Doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah. Now, Gronowski hasn't won the starting job yet, but I think that's pretty much his job. So,
but dude, think of all the titles he's won at North Dakota State,
South
Dakota State, dude. Like,
no doubt. So, yeah, they've actually got some receivers, like 6'4" sophomore Reese Vanderzee. I don't know, man. I look for Iowa. Look, I know I say this probably every year we do this. If Iowa can just get a little bit of offensive production,
right,
they can compete. I think they can get a little offensive production this year.
Yeah.
I think their defense probably sound like a broken record, but I do like this.
I think their defense is good. Good. I do think their defense is thinner than last year, but I do think that they're gonna. They're Iowa. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Ferentz is 211 or something. I mean, he wins games. 204 and 124.
Yeah,
there you
I
go.
Think the thing is, like, we talk about Minnesota, it's always 6-6, 8-4 kind of teams. I think Iowa's always at like 8-4, 9-3.
Right.
They can,
and they usually win their bowl games.
Yeah, it's just you don't want to go there and play ever. It's one of the toughest places in college football to play at. So.
Yes.
And I love the pink visitor locker room.
And you like corn.
Oh, well, yeah. Who doesn't?
Yes, the pink visitor locker room made famous by what coach put it in? Do you remember?
I don't.
Hayden Fry.
Oh, well, I should have known that. I should have known
Fry
that.
Hayden Fry was the when I was a kid, I mean, he was Iowa football.
Yeah.
Like, Hayden Fry was Iowa. It was Hayden Fry, Bo Schembechler. Was at Michigan. You know, you had those guys that had been there for 100 years, and I despised Hayden Fry. I couldn't stand Iowa. I still feel the same, and I hope they lose every game. But that's my bias coming out there. who does Phil Steele have finishing just in front of the Iowa Hawkeyes?
I'm riding USC until it comes up.
I am too. This is my Utah team.
He does not, in fact, have USC.
I mean, does he think
he has
Marcus Allen's playing for
Nebraska?
Them?
Oh yeah, no. I'm big on Nebraska. Unpopular opinion here. I think they're one of the few teams in this league that can win the championship, the Big Ten championship, mm-hmm. not the national
great
championship.
Great quarterback.
I don't know about great yet. I think
what has he ever done?
I think potential to be like the kid can
he's never
play.
Done anything.
He makes a lot of mistakes. You have to admit, Travis,
like,
he has talent.
I like
you can watch him play and see raw talent.
I think I just find him so annoying.
He is annoying.
Yeah, block that out and just watch him play with it. Like, look at him with his helmet on as opposed to his helmet off.
I also saw them lose like 100-0 at IU last mm-hmm. year. So that might skew my.
I'm with you.
Skew me a little bit too. I don't watch a lot of Nebraska football. The one game I watched them play last year was that I really mm-hmm. paid attention was against Indiana, and they were horrendous. Now, that probably doesn't have anything to do with where they're at as a program or whatever. But until that kid wins something, I'm not inclined to anoint him as some sort of great quarterback.
Yeah, a great was a reach. Like, I don't know why. I mean, I think Freddie just spoke there. But, look, there's no denial. Like, look, I'll die on this hill. The kid has loaded with talent. I honestly believe that. Like,
I've deferred to you on that for sure.
He makes bonehead mistakes like a lot of young people do. This is second year. Like, I love Matt Rule. Like, I really
too.
Am a big Matt Rule guy.
I am
and he's
too.
Got some help in there at wide receiver. I mean, local guy from Lexington,
Dane Key.
who I think is an amazing wide receiver.
I agree.
The kid from Cal, the only one that could catch balls
the
last year,
yeah.
Isaiah Hunter. He's there. Like I'm big on this Nebraska team.
I could see them with 9 wins.
Yeah, absolutely.
And their schedule looks easy at the beginning, too. I think they're going to do what they did last year. Mm. Remember, they were bowl eligible, 5-1 last year. And then they kind of faltered when they got some meatier teams down the line. But they started off hotter than hell.
Yeah.
And they may do it again.
I'm going to be honest. When I look at this entire Big Ten slate, I know Travis and Colin are probably going to punch me in the knees for this, but I don't see anything that is national title worthy. And I think Nebraska has as good a shot as any to win this Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. Let's see their schedule here. I'll just go through their Big Ten slate.
Mm-hmm.
They start at home against Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Then they play Michigan State. Then they play Maryland. Then they play Minnesota. Then they play Northwestern. Then they play USC. Then they play UCLA. I mean,
right?
That's what I'm saying. The schedule's lined up for them.
Wide open, yeah,
right at the beginning.
Wide open because, then at the end they finish up at Penn State and at home against Iowa. So you're absolutely right.
They avoid Ohio State and Oregon, which some say are the top. But like, yeah, they could be in Indianapolis for that Big Ten championship game. I would not be shocked.
Quite frankly, looking at this schedule, I would be inclined to maybe agree with you.
You know, and don't forget, they did lose Tony White, who is well thought of amongst defensive coordinator purists, and he just promoted from within. But that will be he will definitely be a missed defensive coordinator for Nebraska. So. We'll see how their defense holds up this year.
Now we come to number 7. And I think now we can go ahead and be correct in our pick here, Fred.
Yeah, you're definitely USC.
Yeah, USC. Yes. Has to be.
He has USC at
Mark
number
Sanchez,
7.
I mean, what?
Here's the thing with USC. Lincoln Riley actually has a great recruiting class coming in. I think
he
what
does,
he's done out
always
there,
will.
I think what he's done is start focusing on high school kids and trying to keep them and develop them as opposed to transfers. Mm-hmm. And that's a system. I don't think it's ready to compete yet. Maybe next year. He's going to have to do something to keep his job because he is on the hot seat out there. Maybe recruiting alone will keep him out there. Jaden Maeva, who I guess he benched Miller Moss for last season, did not impress me. And keep in mind, you know, everybody says Lincoln Riley's the quarterback whisperer. I think he just got blessed with some really good quarterbacks. Yeah. I'm not sure that I've seen him really. I don't know. We'll see. The book's out.
Travis, make a note that I have this team finishing 10th in the Big Ten.
All right.
There's no way in hell that they are that high. I'm going to pull a Beano Cook.
Put me on that note.
Ron Paulus will win the Heisman. And I'm going to tell you that even more so than I felt about Utah and Duke and the ACC being better than people think and Virginia Tech, I think that USC, even with a great coach like Lincoln Riley and a great recruiting class that is going to take time, it's going to take another year for them to mesh in. I don't think that they're going to do near as
now,
good as some of these other teams we've already talked about.
That offensive line was historically bad last year, maybe one of the worst in football. They did beef that up quite a bit. So, you know, quarterbacks are different when they got people blocking for them. Everything starts at the line of scrimmage. You always say that. If you have a good offensive line, you have a pretty good chance of being a solid football team.
And he's a great offensive coach.
He is.
Let's
and
be
if he
real.
If he has the time to actually design his plays with time, then that changes everything. So yeah. USC is kind of like a little wild card here, but I don't see him competing for a championship. I don't know if I see him finishing at the very bottom, but they could end up finishing 10th, like you said, Fred, yeah. In this league.
So. If they play Duke in a bowl game, Duke wins.
It's so weird to say a team's going to finish 10th, but not at the bottom of the league. Like right. I know.
It really is. It's
that's
weird.
Right in the middle.
Yeah,
that's
right in the middle. It's crazy.
And that's what's so hard to tally these teams in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we got USC out of the way. Who does Phil Steele have finishing 6th?
I tell you who I think it should be, and that is Michigan.
Michigan, yes.
He does not have Michigan finishing 6th.
I think Travis.
He has Indiana finishing
6th. I knew he was going to say that.
He has Indiana finishing
6th. Travis, take the floor.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and weep and gnash my teeth about it. I think Indiana will finish better than that. But I can see why with all the, you know, look, IU came out of nowhere last year. Did something they've never won 10 games. They hadn't won 9 games in like 70 some odd years or something. So I get it. You know, there's people still wondering, you know, was it a 1-year flash in the pan? Can Cignetti build on what he did? Because you also have to think that the last time Indiana had any sort of preseason hype or, you know, I think they were ranked like 12th or something the year after the COVID year when Indiana had that really good season with Mike and he got hurt. And then they opened the season at Iowa. Penix throws like a pick on the very first play of the game, and then Mike gets hurt. The team implodes. I think they won like 2 or 3 games that year, whatever. So
that pick was to Cooper DeJean, I believe, wasn't it? It may have been.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember that was how how much I didn't believe in IU was. I was at Freddy's watching that game. The first play of the game happened, and I said, "Turn that TV off. This game is over." And now I don't feel like that about this. I think this Indiana team is built to sustain success.
Great returner, all kinds of returning key players.
Keeping their offensive coordinator was enormous. Keeping their defensive coordinator was enormous.
Right,
they have Kamara coming back to anchor the defensive line. They have D'Angelo Pons coming back.
My boy.
To shut down the corner. They have Aiden Fisher coming back, Mr. Do Everything at middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of other pieces they've brought in from the transfer portal. Obviously, they've got Fernando Mendoza at quarterback who, you know, you never know until they're on the field, but on paper should be as good, but even more.
Did you mention Kamara too? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that kid.
Even more dynamic as a playmaker because, number one, he's not playing on a busted ACL. Number two, he's just more elusive to begin with than Rourke. Rourke brought a lot of intangibles and smarts and everything. Wide receivers, Surratt is back. Omar Cooper is back.
Don't gloss over Sarai. He's one of the best receivers in all of college football.
I mean, that
kid's great.
I think they have a chance to be, now not with top-heavy talent like an Ohio State or maybe an Oregon or something, but from top to bottom, from a wide receiver standpoint, I think you would match them up with anybody
now,
in that league.
And I would have to say, maybe not Ohio State that has, obviously, Smith and the great safety that transferred from Bama and all. And they still have lost some people. Oregon, they've definitely lost people. I will tell you right now, Indiana has better key players than Oregon does. I'm telling you that right now. That is, I'm just saying. The more I looked at Oregon, the less and less I was impressed, even though I love the coach. But, hey, I think we need to go through this schedule.
Well, that's what I was just getting ready to do. We're going to
– hold on. I'm going to talk about IU for a second.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
For them to have a good season, I need to see I know some of you guys are high on him. Fernando Mendoza, I'm not. I don't think he's a Rourke type player at all. He doesn't have the arm talent to really win you games. I think he can get out there and play solid, not screw it up football. I hope that IU doesn't rely on him, and he may make strides under at IU, kind of like what Rourke did. Rourke surprised everybody with the way he played.
That's a good point. Yeah, no, you're making a good point.
Now, I do, like Travis mentioned, Roman Henby from Maryland, the transfer coming in. Also, the kid from UAB, Lee Beebe, he's a player. And they got my guy, wide receiver from App State, Makai Jackson. I'm a big fan of this guy. You can put him opposite of Elijah Surratt. Like, and again, we'll see how he adjusts to Big Ten football as opposed to Conference USA, but or Sun Belt. But it's I want to see – here's where I'm at with IU. For them to compete to win the Big Ten, I need to see physicality on stopping the pass rush. I really want to see that. And if that's the case, then maybe Mendoza can settle in a little bit. I'm with you as far as, like, your front 11 on both sides of the ball. I'd feel very comfortable. I want to see how they are week six, right, week seven, week eight.
And I wasn't necessarily comparing quarterbacks because I don't know. I know Oregon just going to bring somebody up. I'm not even sure who their transfer was or who they have. But as far as the other skill positions, I think Indiana surprised me when I started researching them.
Now, I think that they can compete in this Big Ten for sure. The sky's kind of the limit for IU, but also – I don't want IU fans to expect last year to happen.
Right.
Also.
Right.
But I do. I mean, I look for an 8-9 win team. Yeah. Let's go through
Colin
the schedule.
Colin and Travis, me and Tuna were really looking to beat y'all up a little bit, to be honest with you, now that we've looked at the Big Ten and now we've looked at IU.
I think
we can't.
There's
do
really
that.
Nothing to beat up here.
No.
Well, we know they're going to win their first three games. Old Dominion, Kennesaw, and Indiana State. They're going to be 3-0.
That's that tough SIG move right there.
SIG did not have anything to do with this.
Yeah.
The first Big Ten game, really kind of an early season. Well, it isn't kind of. It is an early season test and could really dictate where both these teams end up. The Fighting Illini of Illinois come into Bloomington on September the 20th to a sold-out Memorial Stadium. What say you, gentlemen?
I'm taking IU to win this. I'm not as high on Illinois as a lot of people are.
I am sorry, but I'm taking Illinois coming in on this game. This is the one time that I saw with anything that I could say, not trying to, but negative – about something that may happen with IU's schedule early on and them playing well. I know they're going to be 3-0 and they're going to be all Pistons purring, but I really am high on Illinois. So
I think Indiana's going to beat the shit out of them.
Baby! We'll mark that down.
Bert Bielema or whatever that fat ass's name is.
Oh, here we go. Let it out.
As you know,
we all hate him.
Anybody that's listened to this show, he's my most hated coach in any sport, probably.
Brett Bielema.
So I'm going to pick against them no matter what. I think they will be good. I think it'll be a close game, but I think Indiana.
Travis
does not lose that first big home game.
Yeah, I think they're a better
Colin's
team.
Colin's like, sorry, Fred, you can't come.
Second week. Now, this is the way more difficult game than the Illinois game. They go to Iowa in the second week of the Big Ten season.
Yeah, I think I'm going with the Hawkeyes here.
I'm taking Iowa as well.
I'm going with IU on this one.
Okay.
Suck it for Renz. It's about time somebody comes in to Des Moines and beats them. And I think that this team can do it.
I'm not going to be surprised if Indiana wins that game, but it's a, that just seems like one of those after a emotional, tough, especially if they win, game against Illinois, physical. I could see Iowa presenting a very difficult challenge. Follow that up with the trip to Oregon, which is tough.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take Oregon on that one, even though I'm telling you that IU has higher. But what I'm saying is going to Oregon is not – I don't care who's going there. Mm-hmm. If Ohio State's going to Oregon, I might take Oregon. You know what I mean? I just think that's such a tough place to play.
You know who beat Oregon as the coach of Indiana? Anyone?
Who beat Oregon as the is that Coach Hep?
No.
Like a bowl game or something?
No, it was a regular season game.
What's his name? Cameron?
No.
Nope. Okay, Cameron.
One of the weirdest games of all times. I think Oregon had like six turnovers and IU ran two kickoffs and a punt or something back for a touchdown. Jerry DiNardo.
Oh, my God.
Jerry DiNardo. Went in and snapped. Oregon had this like 50-game non-conference home winning streak. And of all people and of all teams, Jerry DiNardo went in there with a terrible Indiana team and somehow beat them at Austin
Stadium.
Man, those
are three – after them three games, man, I keep forgetting that you had three. Right. Three.
Here's
man.
Where I'm at. Well, I haven't picked on that yet. And if they go out to Oregon – The problem with this is it's just awful timing because they have two physical games, one against Illinois and then against Iowa, where your bodies are going to be beat to shit, and then you have to go out there, and Will Stein does that open up, keep you on your toes offense.
They do have a week off before Oregon.
Oh, they're going to need it.
That's a great week off.
Okay, that's big. But I'm going to lean Oregon. I expect a really good football game out here, but I'm going to lean Oregon.
Then Michigan State comes to IU.
That's IU win.
I like IU in that one. Don't get caught sleeping.
That's right.
Then UCLA comes to IU.
IU.
I like that one.
Then IU goes to Maryland.
That's a win. That's a spanker.
Then IU goes to Penn State.
Penn State.
Yeah. I mean, here again, you never know, but is that a night game?
Penn State has everything that I think Indiana has trouble going against. When you look at IU and, like, when last year when they went against teams like Ohio State and Notre Dame, you could see the weaknesses exposed. And Sick's smart enough to really try to shore that up. Penn State, I think they're too much of a load for IU. Especially there, man. Yeah, maybe if it was in Bloomington, they could pull some magic, but no.
This is the year that Indiana finally exercises the demons of Happy Valley and puts a dagger right in the heart of James Franklin.
You know what? I could see James Franklin really crapping his pants in that game and doing something stupid. Now you're getting by, but I just can't see it at Beaver Stadium.
I will put it to you this way. Worse Indiana teams... And maybe not better, but worse Indiana teams have beaten Penn State teams that I think were much better than this Penn State team is than this Indiana team.
Okay.
So I'm going to lean towards IU there for no other reason than it's just my gut. Indiana has never won out there in Happy Valley. They should have won out there like five times. One of these years, it's going to happen, and what no better year than this year for it to happen. Then Wisconsin comes to IU.
That's a win.
Yeah.
Then finish the season with the bucket game.
Yeah.
Are they even going to play it?
Definitely a bucket game.
We basically have IU winning nine games.
Okay.
Is pretty logical.
I think it's 8 to 10 wins.
Yes.
I really believe it.
I would agree with that. Last year, I predicted 8, and I said 9 would not shock me. This year, I'll predict 9 and say 10 would not shock me.
Yeah.
There you go.
And, you know, that would probably put IU right there in the top, what, four of the league, I think? Fourth, fifth?
Yeah, I'd say. Something like that. I mean, we had Minnesota winning nine games, so who knows?
Yep. Right. So now Phil Steele moves on to the top five. Who does Phil Steele have finishing fifth?
I feel like it has to be Michigan.
Has to be Michigan.
It is not Michigan.
It's Illinois, then.
It is Illinois.
Yeah.
And he basically says that Illinois and IU are kind of a coin flip, like kind of whoever wins that early game could, you know, he sees that.
Yeah. I'm moving Illinois behind Nebraska and Iowa. Look, you lose like every – I understand they're bringing back a lot.
I know they won tight games.
But they're – you know, all their offensive production's gone, and you're not going to tell me that
No. I have them first in the Big Ten, bringing back 191 starts between the players.
I'm talking skill positions.
Okay.
Wide receivers gone. Running backs gone. Now, offensive line there. Defense is all back. I give that. But, I mean, Altmaier's got all new weapons he's going to have to deal with this year. So, okay. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not as big on Illinois to keep
just
it
look
going.
At this idiot. Look at this idiot. This picture of this fat ass.
His wife's hot.
Yeah, I don't know how he pulled that off.
I don't know, man. I guess like having big multi-million-dollar contracts is a...
His tremendous looks or his sparkling personality...
Sorry, Josh, one of our listeners here, he's got a lot of family in Illinois. He is a LSU and then pulls for Illinois. These guys just don't like your second team there, buddy. Like, I don't
feel bad about that.
That, I think Illinois coming, beat the top three hottest teams in the country last year. Coming off their bowl game, a hot South Carolina team that should have probably made the playoff. I think that they come back with a lot of starters, 73%, which is, I mean, if you want to compare that to Ohio State, they bring back 48%. Mm-hmm. Same with Oregon, less than that, 41% as far as production coming back. 191 starts between all their starters on offense and defense. I know what Tuna's saying, running back, wide receiver, new players. I think I'm a momentum guy. I think Illinois is going to continue on. I know they won a lot of close games that could have went the other way, but I do respect their defense. Another team, bet the under.
Defensive line and secondary alone is good enough to win six games without any offensive production. But, I mean, we'll see with them. I don't know. They turned into Iowa, I think. Old Iowa. So, yeah.
I like their schedule, too. So,
well, you're not going to get me to pick them to do anything.
There you go. I love that.
They will be – obviously, they're going to be very physical. Their defense is going to be tough. My dream is that Indiana is ahead of them by like four touchdowns with 2 minutes to go, and Sig runs some sort of triple Lindy reverse deal like that fat ass did when he was at Wisconsin against Indiana that 1 year, 77-7, halfback pass.
Start going for two.
Yeah. Nah. Oh yeah. That nothing would make me happier. Than if that were to happen. So we're through number five. Now we're moving into the top four. Who does Phil Steele think is going to finish fourth in the Big Ten?
I mean, I hate it, but it's Michigan.
Michigan and Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It is. He does have
Jesus
Michigan.
Christ.
Now, let me ask you, boys, as someone that does not get into the minutia of these teams and really know who's coming back and what, is this a case of he picks Michigan fourth because it's Michigan, or is there a legitimate reason that he thinks they're going to make this big jump from where they were last season up to fourth in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it has to be. He thinks that Bryce Underwood is going to be just a superstar right from the start. And look, if he comes in and he has one of those amazing freshman years, then Michigan can be fourth in the Big Ten. I don't think Sherrone Moore is that kind of a coach. I you know, say that every year, and it's proven. Until he proves otherwise, I don't like him to win a lot of games. I may be way wrong on him, but everything, it sits on Bryce Underwood. What, they got the Fresno State transfer backing him up, Mikey Keene.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean,
they got one hell of a running back from Alabama named Justice Haynes. I can assure you that. So,
yeah. You think he's better than C.J. Hester?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah, no, he is. I love Justice Haynes. I'm just taking shots.
But no. But I'm just saying that Michigan, he's going to have to show me something on defense. All their corners are wiped out. I think they have one returning in the secondary. I think Michigan's way too high up here. I mean, I can see them still going 8-4. Okay. I don't see them competing for a playoff spot.
I just think there's other teams that are better than this Michigan team in the Big Ten.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. And we've talked about several of them already.
You think Iowa is. I think Illinois is. Mm-hmm. We both think Nebraska could possibly beat them. Indiana. Always hard to play in the big house, though, and you know how it is. I mean...
I do hope they beat Ohio State again, just because that's fun to watch every
year.
Well,
yeah,
that's four straight
great.
Now. So really, just keep that up.
And I do want to throw this in there. Yes, they can. You know how I am about momentum. They came off a nice bowl win, beating Bama, and that game wasn't even close. They drummed us.
They didn't beat Bama. Milroe lost to Michigan.
Right, you're right. You're
so
right.
That's I mean.
Oh, you're right. Milroe yeah. choked yeah. to Michigan. That's right. But bottom line was they played harder, stronger, better in all facets. It wasn't just that goofball. Their defense played.
He turned the ball over six times.
Yeah, oh, dude, it was horrendous.
Every time it was snapped, he just dropped the ball away.
And they've been coming for us. We've whipped their ass a few times. Now, they got us in the national championship game on the last play of the game. But before that, we pretty much owned Michigan for a while. So we had it coming. They smelled blood and got us on that. But, hey, that's a good momentum winner to coming into the season. I'm just not totally sold on the coach, personally. He has to show more for me.
All right.
I'm with you.
Well, that brings us to the top three, Phil Steele's top three in the Big Ten. Who do we think Phil Steele has finishing number three?
It's Oregon.
Oregon.
He does indeed have Oregon.
Even though I have Illinois and Indiana ahead of Oregon.
Yeah, I don't know about Oregon there. I mean, what on offense, the only player returning is their center? Is that correct?
Yes.
What are we doing?
A lot.
That's crazy. And then we're starting quarterback Dante Moore. I mean, the kid that sucked from UCLA.
Yeah.
So,
and their best receiver, All-American Evan Stewart, might be out for the whole year.
Yeah. Now running back, they did get the kid Mekhi Hughes
from
Tulane. Big fan of him. How's that going to translate from Tulane to the Big Ten? We'll learn. Will Stein's going to have to get creative out here. And I trust Dan Lanning. I think he's a good coach. I just don't know if they have the Jimmies and Joes.
I would rather go through. Do we have time to go through? I'd rather go through this schedule than I would Penn State and Ohio State, wouldn't
sure.
you?
Yeah, I think that's a shocker. Like, well, they're going to end up with a record.
I think we need to see where we come out of this one. This would be interesting to see.
All right.
Because, I mean, I'm telling you, 41% of production coming back.
Okay, Oregon opens the season against Montana State.
We'll give them that one.
Hey, count out Montana State, buddy. They,
he said don't count them out.
Week two, they welcome in the Fighting Mike Gundys of Oklahoma State.
Wow.
You know, I got to take Oregon in this one.
Yeah, I do too, but that could be a fun little game.
I kind of wish that was in Stillwater, man.
I know, I do too.
They open Big Ten play on the road at Northwestern.
Yeah, it's a win.
Oh, God. Nice schedule, Lanning.
September the 20th, they play their isn't that weird that they would play their rivalry game on September 20th?
They did it literally last year. Okay. We complained about it, how the Civil War moved up.
Well, they're playing the Civil War September the 20th. It's at Autzen Stadium this
year. Unfortunately, man, the Beavers are struggling.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going.
Okay.
Going to Oregon. So that's 4-0 right now.
The schedule's ridiculous.
Well, it's about to turn a little bit more difficult. Because the following week they travel night game to Happy Valley and Penn State.
Loss.
Yeah, it's a loss.
I've been waiting to say loss.
And then
that weekend, we'll talk about that weekend, but it's going to be the most insane sports weekend ever. I'll read it off here at the end.
And then they have a week off, just like Indiana does.
And then they play IU. There's that IU game. And now I'm trying to remember what I said.
We picked Oregon. We were saying that, like, if Oregon was going to Bloomington, we could see
them getting there.
But because it's in Autzen Stadium, I can't.
Do you think that's a night game, Travis?
It's to be determined, isn't it?
I really think night and day makes a difference.
And, you know, like,
That's a 50-50 game now that I'm thinking about
it. I'm like 55-45 on that, but I'm going to stay with my pick and say that Oregon wins.
I am too. Now, IU coming off of a bye week, which I didn't know that that's huge.
Right.
So we'll be cautiously give them a win on that.
IU's coming off a great bye week, and I think they don't need the bye week with their schedule.
They just got back from Happy Valley. Yeah,
a
night game at Happy Valley.
Right. No, you're right.
That
Indiana Oregon game, that might be game day.
It very well could.
I'll read that schedule here to you here in a little bit.
Now
it's probably gonna be big noon kickoff.
It's
gonna be a 9 a.m. game in Eugene, Oregon.
I'd be all in favor of that, baby. So they had their two relatively difficult games, and this is a weird road trip for them. After playing Penn State and IU,
say it's Washington.
No, they gotta get on a plane and fly as far away across the country
Rutgers.
As you can get and come and play at Rutgers, which they're probably better than, but that's going to be those games. Those West Coast teams coming all the way east and vice versa, that was difficult on teams last year.
It's going to be crispy cold over there.
Like, I think Oregon will win, but I bet you that game's closer than most people would think.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm going to take Oregon to win that one.
Then they're home against Wisconsin.
Jesus.
That's a win.
Like, where's the South Carolinas? Where's the Floridas?
Then they're at Iowa.
Iowa.
Loss. That's Iowa wins that game.
Then they're
IU beating Iowa.
Home against Minnesota.
They're at home? Yeah we already did.
We already picked
in the Minnesota schedule. We took Oregon there.
Then they're home against Southern Cal.
Oh, God.
I think that's a win.
Yeah, their schedule is ridiculous.
I think they have 8 home games.
And then they're on the road to finish the season at Washington.
Now,
I'm going to call Washington to get the upset.
So we have them 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
10 and 3.
9, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We have them winning 10 games.
10 with a possibility of IU beating them. You know, I mean, like that's a 50-50 game based on what all the knowledge that we have.
I think that's a legitimate
I'm thinking of prediction. You're looking at Oregon and you see nothing there.
No.
Nothing. I just don't get it, except Dan Lanning and the Oregon and what Oregon has been as of late. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Number one team going into the playoff last year. The number one team. And now they come back and you don't see anything that excites you. It's like, no. I don't know, man. That's going to be fun to keep an eye on those guys and see what he can do. They say he's a great coach. Let's see. He's going to prove it now.
Well, that brings us to the top two in the Big Ten, according to Phil Steele. Who do we have Phil Steele picking to finish second?
I think this is Ohio State.
I think it's going to be Penn State, but I have Ohio State second.
He has Ohio State finishing second.
Yeah.
He does.
This comes down to Julian saying, I mean, can he come in and play right away? I mean, well, he's a sophomore. I guess he hadn't really seen the field much. I mean, there's no doubt they have two of the best players on both sides of the ball. You know, Caleb Downs, Jeremiah Smith.
Yes,
They have lost a ton, man.
I know.
And I understand Ohio State reloads. They got guys after guys after guys. This is a different team than last year. Last year, you looked at that roster and you're like, if they don't win a national championship, Ryan Day should be canned. And they lost to Michigan, but damn it, they won that national championship. And they did it convincingly. Yes, they were right. Very dominant throughout the playoffs. And this is a different team, man. I don't see it from this team. Again, Julian saying, if he's good, they're going to be really good. If he's mediocre, I don't think they have the position talent to make up for a decent quarterback. They have to have a good quarterback. To win a national title.
Right.
What I'm saying? Right. Like, I'm speaking about Ohio State different than you speak about other teams.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't know. This is not – I don't think they're a national championship contender this year. That's my opinion.
I don't either. I think they've got – they're going to have a running back that does well. They're going to have an offensive line that's doing well. They're going to have a defensive line that's above average. But – you're right, and it's always harder after you – trust me, I know this. I'm a Bama man. After you win a championship, it's so hard to keep that up the next year and keep all your players focused. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't think that Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs are going to every their names are in lights. They're getting paid. They're doing commercials. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're getting pulled away. Because you're a national champion, it's going to be a lot harder. And I think Penn State's a lot hungrier.
Yeah, I think there's just other teams in the Big Ten that are going to beat Ohio State this year that they normally wouldn't.
Put it this way, Matt. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
But, where I had Illinois had 191 returning starts. Penn State, which we're getting to, has 207. Ohio State, 116.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, returning starts from players that started at 41% production. They're gonna, I still think it's hard this day and age.
That draft last year was Ohio State. The NFL draft was Ohio State.
Yeah,
like that's it was. It's just tough to replace that. We've seen that. I'm not saying Florida State, but like the year Florida State went undefeated and they lost to Georgia down there in that bowl game, we've seen all those players leave. And now it's a little different situation. Florida State replaced off of a transfer portal.
Right.
Ohio State's replacing from guys within the system. But, man, there's such a drop-off in talent and right. from last year's team.
Right.
I mean, James Peoples, you're going to put a lot on this young guy's – spot at running back. They had lost Quishon Judkins and what was the other running back?
The one that dominated. Yeah, hell, he was their MVP the last three games of the year.
But
what was his name? God, man, he's
Trey.
God.
Anyway,
remember he had all them breakaway runs. Yeah. It looked like freaking Walter Payton out there.
Yeah,
I mean,
you had him and Trayvon Henderson.
Henderson.
Him and Quishon Judkins back there. You had two top five. I mean, they were two of the top running backs taken in the draft.
Dude,
so it's
unstoppable.
I don't know, and defensive line was just so loaded last year. Everything about this team, it's just different, man.
Yeah.
And I want to see how Ryan Day rebounds. I can't put them as a title contender.
No.
So, all right.
Well, that leaves us with one, and then there was one, and that is James Franklin's Nittany Lion contingent out there in Happy Valley. How are we feeling about Penn State this year? I know you seem to be really high on them. Obviously, they've got the quarterback coming back. They've got a lot of guys, big-time players coming back. On paper, I think they are clearly the best team in the Big Ten. Do you see it that way?
Yeah. If you made me bet on one team in the Big Ten that has a chance to win a national championship, I think it's Penn State. And I'd still be reluctant doing it.
We still don't like the quarterback.
Look, no. Well, here's the thing. Everybody tells me that Drew Aylor's good. He's like that guy. Everybody's like, he's good. He's really – I have yet to see it. And I think it's because James Franklin has his balls in a vice grip.
Right.
Like, let him throw the ball a little bit,
he's a game manager.
Let's see what he's got. Like, everybody says the talent's there. I don't know if it is or not. There's no doubt these running backs. This is the number one running back room in all of college football.
For sure.
This is the top. Like, they've got two guys that are bruisers and that are just a nightmare to deal with. You know, Catron Allen, Nicholas Singleton.
They dominate.
They've got the offensive line. They've got the defense from top to bottom. Every tier
7,000 yards from scrimmage between the two.
Yes.
I mean, dude.
That defense, every tier.
68 touchdowns.
Tough to score against. It's
offensive
just
offensive line, four starters back.
If they get in a situation where they have to put up double-digit scoring in the fourth quarter, come from behind and win the game, can they do it? When is James Franklin going to screw up again? It's just a constant thing with Penn State. They have to prove me otherwise. But if I'm looking at rosters, I'm looking at talent, this team is head and shoulders above every other team in the Big Ten.
Did you see their non-conference schedule? Nevada, Florida International, Villanova. Mm-hmm. That always helps. Don't forget who their new defensive coordinator is. Probably the best in the game. Comes from where?
Yeah,
Ohio State.
Yes, Ohio State.
So,
I just always think of Franklin, and I'm coming back from when he was at Vandy. He was always, to me, the best coach when he was like a slight underdog or didn't have as much talent. I'm not sure that he has shown that he's a great coach with elite level talent. You know
true.
What I mean?
Could
true.
Not agree more.
Like he
but
was
he's
really,
been knocking on the door. You got to admit
he was great at Vandy. Getting them to win like nine games or whatever and win some of these games they had no business winning. And then at Penn State, every year he loses a game or two that they really have no business getting beat.
Rich man's Mark Stoops. That's the best way to put that.
Yeah. And I have a lot of
Jim Knowles is that defensive coordinator that's been at Oklahoma State, Duke, Ohio State.
I have a lot of love for James Franklin because of what he did at Vanderbilt, but I just, like you said, until I see him do it at a national championship caliber level, I don't buy it.
Well, let's look back here because don't forget, 2 years ago, the hottest team that I thought coming into the bowl, and this was before the playoff, coming in was Penn State. They kicked the shit out of somebody in the bowl game. I was super high on them. They went 10-4, I think, or after the bowl game. Then they came in last year. Came in hot. They made the playoff. They got hot. They won a playoff game. They destroyed SMU. They continued on. Came up short. the coach knocking on the door to win the national championship. And I know it sounds crazy, but I think it is James Franklin, yeah, folks. He is the guy that it, Penn State is the next up. Remember how Harbaugh and Michigan was knocking on that door, and you're like, they're beating Ohio State. They've got to win a national championship. Well, they did. Mm-hmm. Ohio State knocking on the door. They've got to win a national championship. SEC's beating each other up. Bam. Penn State's next. But Ohio State has and Michigan proved that they can beat an SEC top dog. Can Penn State do that? That's the next question.
That I don't even know about the SEC top dog, but like just like winning every game consistently is right. What I want to see from them.
And who beat Penn State in the playoff?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. That's right. So that was a, you know, that was a good game. They came back in the second half, but yeah.
So if we had to,
this is going to be fun.
Now we've got our, you know, went through every team, Phil Steele's predictions. Let's do
our top seven,
our predictions on how the Big Ten
season plays. And we normally go to seven, right? Top five. Seven, top five.
Top five.
Let's do a top five.
I'm going to get crazy here. You're going to replay this, and I'm going to be like, either sound like a genius or the biggest idiot on the face of the earth.
Okay, I love it. Take some chances. Yeah. I probably won't as much, but.
All right. Penn State to win this league. I like Nebraska to play them in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship. Wow. So Nebraska at two. We went through that schedule, keep in mind. Number three, I'm going to go with Iowa. Number four, Oregon, because of their schedule that we went through. And number five, IU. And you could easily swap IU and Oregon in that four spot.
All right. So we've got Tuna's Big Ten predictions. He's got Indiana fifth, Oregon fourth, Iowa third, and Nebraska and Penn State playing in Indianapolis. By God, we'll be downtown that night.
Yeah. That's a one-of-a-kind top five. I guarantee, yep, like, not one other person has anything, yep, similar to that.
I love that. Absolutely love it. All right, hang on just a second, Fred. Let me get your okay, Freddy's.
Mine's a little more conservative, but I'm going Pitt State. I'm going Ohio State, Illinois, Indiana, and Oregon.
All right, so that is Oregon, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio State, and Penn State.
You were dogging Oregon all show.
I know, and then
and
we
then
see
you
their
gotta
schedule.
Win it all.
And then, no, not winning. I have them third. Or no,
no, you
I
got
them
first
fifth
on there.
Yeah. No,
oh,
no,
fifth. Okay, from the bottom up. All right, all right. I'm sorry.
No,
I was reading that backwards.
No. I have them fifth, but I do have them better than what I thought based on that terrible schedule.
Colin has sent his Big Ten projections in. He has Michigan at five, Penn State at number four, Indiana at three, Oregon at two, and Ohio State at one. He thinks Indiana's lone conference loss will be to Oregon. My top five.
Lone loss. I hear you.
I love the optimism.
My top five, I've got Oregon at number five. I've got Illinois at number four. I've got Indiana at three. I've got Penn State at two and Ohio State winning it.
There you go. Your Collins are pretty close.
I don't trust James Franklin 100%, but I would much rather, personally, would much rather Penn State win the Big Ten in a national championship than Ohio State ever wins another football game. So if it comes down to that, go Penn State. Well, that brings us to the end of our Big Ten show. Next week, Freddie's shining moment. I'm sure he'll do an hour on every bottom feeding SEC team.
Well, they're not as bad as the Big Ten bottom feeders. See, I can assure you.
It's already started.
Yep. Yeah.
It's completely
I've got my
started.
Top 16 toughest schedules in the country, and I looked at every team. I mean, I've got UK on here. I've got Miami, SMU, Syracuse, but I don't have any Big Ten teams.
Yeah.
None.
There's a good
chance. That means there's one, two tough teams on the schedule. And then you play who's in your conference.
There's a good chance I'm going to call in sick next week. Just an FYI. I'm not sure I can sit through 2 hours of that.
Me and Freddie are just sitting in his garage and talking to our iPhones. Yeah.
But no.
I'm going to be hard on these SEC boys.
It should be a lot of fun. And with all jokes aside, I am very much looking forward to that. Fellas, we got a couple minutes. If you have anything, we'll do a quick last call.
Yeah, I was.
Oh, yeah, tuna.
I mentioned earlier about that sports schedule for that weekend. This is the last weekend in September. So you have the Ryder Cup going on that weekend.
Oh, baby.
Okay. And then you have LSU at Ole Miss. You have Ohio State at Washington. Alabama at Georgia.
Oh, my goodness.
Oregon at Penn State. Okay. And both those games are scheduled 7:30, which kind of sucks. And then. Moving on into Sunday NFL, you have the Ravens and the Chiefs. So that is a loaded weekend of huge games.
Man, and a Ryder Cup be going on that whole time,
yeah, exactly.
Too. Wow.
And which is, you got to have a TV wall. You got to have multiple TVs going.
For sure.
And just if anybody hasn't heard about the Bryce Harper-Rob Manfred incident.
Yeah.
So Rob Manfred came into the Phillies locker room to talk about salary cap, which I think they're looking into. And Bryce Harper said, if you got kids around, earmuffs, get the fuck out of here. Rob Manfred returned, said, I'm not getting the fuck out of here. Bryce Harper stands up with a bat, says, get the fuck out of here. And so I guess what it was, Rob Manfred was trying to talk to the team without a player union rep nearby.
Right.
So he had no right of being in there. But anyway.
I mean, this is the tip of the iceberg for what is going to be an incredibly contentious labor negotiation.
I think Mike Scherzer just said that he can't wait to get his
say
crack.
Say again real quick.
Scherzer. he said he can't wait to get his crack at Rob Manfred. So I'm sure there's other players. What you're going to see is the guys that have already made a ton of money. Mm-hmm. They're going to be the most outspoken about this.
Of course.
But like, I've always been a huge Bryce Harper fan.
He gets a lot of haters, and I don't understand why. He's good for
baseball.
Because
he's emotional and wears it on his sleeve.
Yeah.
But he's a baseball guy. And always has been. Love He's a winner.
I agree completely, Fred.
Is that on to me?
It's on to you, Freddie.
Well, I do want to mention that, Travis, are you going to talk about the Ohio Valley? Okay, you got that handled. Are you also talking about a RIP?
No.
Okay, I do want to say that we've seemed to have lost many, many people that are coming around those ages, but I wanted to say RIP to one of the greatest baseball players to play the game at all facets, Swiss Army Knife Ryan Sandberg, a.k.a. Rhino. I'm a Reds fan, but, I mean, I came up in the area where Ryan Sandberg, Don Mattingly, Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs,
every person in America loved Ron Sandberg.
Everybody
he
loved
was on
Ron
WGN
Sandberg.
And everybody had WGN.
And exactly. That was, and Ron Sandberg, I mean, what can you say? Everybody knows everything that he could do on offense, defense, everything. And we're going to definitely miss him. He died too young. Hall of Famer Ron Sandberg. Also, we have this Saturday the Whitney Stakes. The $1 million Whitney Stakes winner is automatically in the Breeders' Cup. We have Fierceness, Sierra Leone, Those two horses have raced four times. They're 2-2 against each other. This is what you call a rivalry, folks. Skippy Longstocking, Highland Falls, a good long shot that I'm liking. Disarm, and of course, a proven winner, the All Heart White Abario. I'm going just to give you my pick. I'm going with Sierra Leone in this one, the closer, to upset Fierceness. Based on the odds, Mind Frame was supposed to run in this, and everyone knows I love Mind Frame. That is my horse, but he is skipping. If Fierceness was in, he was out. I'm not sure the connections and how that worked and what the reasoning is on that, but Mind Frame is scratched of this race, lowering it down a little bit, but, let's go Sierra Leone, Highland Falls and White Abario as your try. Well, not try. Believe me, Fierceness will be in the top three. But anyways, there you have it on that. And that is it for me. If you are getting into the OWV.
OVW.
OVW.
Yes. SWV.
I
was just going to quickly say we had an opportunity. Ohio Valley Wrestling put on a show literally right in front of Freddie's garage bar. We sat in the garage bar and watch this two-hour wrestling show. I didn't really know what to expect. I'm a longtime big pro wrestling fan. I thought, you know, maybe they would just trot out some of their low-level people, and it would just be kind of a goofy thing. That they put on a legitimate two-hour show with championship matches and gimmick matches. The performances were great. Al Snow was there.
Got our pictures with him
in the gorilla position, kind of overseeing everything. He's the guy in charge. A lot of good young up and coming talent. Super cool. I actually taped the television program last night. I plan on watching it at some point this weekend because, admittedly, I have not watched Ohio Valley Wrestling in a long, long time, but. They earned my my appreciation, and I figured I owed it to them to at least give them a shot. They perform every Thursday night at Davis Arena for television tapings, and I certainly want to get a group to go out there at some point because it's be very cheap night of entertainment, and they put on a great show. So thank you to Al Snow and everybody involved with OVW, and hopefully they do it again next year at the Dainty Fest. With all that being said, today was our Big Ten preview show. If you know somebody that's a college football fan, or specifically a fan of any team in the Big Ten besides the bottom seven or eight that we didn't spend much time on, please let them know about the show. Let them know they can find us wherever they find their favorite podcasts. Next week, Freddie will be in high hog heaven as we delve into all things SEC.
Yeah, and before Colin goes crazy, because I know this episode's going to drive him nuts, especially with my scheduling top 16, I'm going to go back through the Big Ten for this show, this next show, and double-check my scheduling and make sure that I have not skipped past a Big Ten team that has a top 16 tougher schedule. I'm going to look at that and make sure that I'm not losing my mind.
All right. Well, we'll all look very forward to that. For the big fella, the Tuna Country Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Mr. SEC himself, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.